Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 3, where we see that Daniel 9 and our study in Revelation chapter 6 gives us insight into the future events of the world. But these texts also give us insight into God's heart for His people and for all mankind. Now let's join Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 3.
The animals that we love and adore that are tamed right now because they're fed. But if there's famine and we could barely even feed ourselves, what's going to happen to them? There's a contribution on their end where, you know, people say, do dogs go to heaven? I don't know if dogs go to heaven. I know cats don't go. They make my eyes itch so bad. But I know that they're going to be contributing here, the beast of the earth, with the destruction of man. You think about these things. I mean, we're living in the middle of a global pandemic. It's made it quite easy in that regard to preach this narrative to you. And honestly, and I know that some people get very touchy with this, but compared to the Spanish flu, the bubonic plague, what are the numbers right now globally? 500,000 in nation? Does anyone know? What are we at? None of you know. Second survey. You guys lost an hour of sleep. You deserve just a rest right now. Forgive me for even pulling you in. World War I, the Spanish flu ended the war. More people died from the Spanish flu than war itself. I remember reading stories in school and revisiting it in preparation for this message. There are those who had symptoms at breakfast and were dead by dinner with the Spanish flu. I mean, just a crazy time period, World War I. The bubonic plague killed a third of the population of Europe, carried by rats. The word disease in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, is actually a word that speaks of infectious diseases transferred from animals to humans. Isn't that sort of interesting? The four horsemen: deception, death, destruction, disease, wave upon wave upon wave. We see them right now. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. Luke 21, Matthew 24. It's in Mark 13. It's in the Olivet Discourse, the heralding of these things. He breaks it into the prelude, the Braxton Hicks, and then the Great Tribulation. These things that are before us in chapter 6 and 19 is without restraint. You see the devastation right now of these things, but you see it with restraint. The Holy Spirit is here. The church is here. The salt and light of the world is in operation. I'm performing right now as a conduit of His love, giving out salt and light to all of you. And then you take it and you give it out there. It's happening. God's Spirit is moving powerfully right now. This is with restraint. Wait till dictators and godless men have this free reign. Wait and see what humanity will do. It tells you a quarter will be wiped off the face of the earth. I believe all children will be gone at this point. Not just Christian families, but I believe all children that haven't reached the age of accountability that is clearly spoken of in Scripture. I do not have the time to get into it with you, but if you want to go study it, Deuteronomy chapter 1, David in his prayer of his child that was sick, I will go to be with him again. Jesus said, for such, we just learned this in Mark's gospel, for such little children is the kingdom of God. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, distinguishing that there's a difference. And then when I became a man, I put away foolish, childish things. For the Jewish people, at the age of 13, that's when boys became men, the bar mitzvah. That's when their father said, to God, no longer is my child accountable to me, but he's accountable to you. And that child repeated and said, no longer am I accountable to you, Dad, I'm accountable to God. There's this ownership of actions at 13. Can you imagine 13-year-old American boys today? For the Greeks and for the Romans, it was around the age of 16. I think it's different per person. I think God in his grace and knowledge, I don't think I know, in his grace and his knowledge, he knows what the age is. So I believe all of children will be gone. Every people group, all kids will be gone. The church is gone. The restraining work of the Holy Spirit is lifted. These things are taking place. Wow. And then the fifth seal is opened. And I saw under the altar, verse 9, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they had held. Why did they die? What happened to them? For the word of God and the testimony which they had held. Who are these? Is this us? No, it's not us. We're already raptured. We already got our glorified bodies. We're already standing around the throne of the Lamb, singing praises to him. This isn't us. It's those who were martyred in the tribulation. It's those who, when they had presented to them the deception of the Antichrist or the gospel of Jesus Christ, they chose the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how I know that emphatically is because what it will tell us in chapter 7 next week. I'll give it to you now so you can go read it, verse 13 and verse 14. But it tells us who they are clearly in chapter 7. These are those who believe the gospel from the 144,000, the two witnesses, your Bible that you left behind. Seriously, our Bibles don't go with us when we get raptured. I write notes in my Bible. I mean, I underline things that I want my loved ones who don't know Christ, should they not get saved, to really hone into and look at. Our Bibles are going to be left, and people are going to get saved. There's going to be an angel that flies across the heavens that heralds the gospel. He's still going to be saving people. Multitudes upon multitudes. But listen, here's the thing. You don't want to wait to get saved till then. And if you think you'll be okay, you just will do whatever you got to do to get saved, the deception is going to be so much greater than it is now. So if you think it's hard now to be a Christian, I mean, it's unimaginable what it will be like in this period of time. But these souls are not, you know, you hear people talk about soul sleeping. There's no soul sleeping. Okay, they're not under the ground, but they're under the altar, it says. That's where the Old Testament sacrifices blood used to be presented. That's where they are. Their conscience, they have a memory. People ask me about that. My son was asking me yesterday, Dad, in heaven, well, I know certain things. They have a memory. I don't know everything that we'll know, but certainly there'll be things that we remember because they cry in verse 10 with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell the earth? They understand these things, but they're not looking for personal revenge. They're looking for the next set of events to happen so it ushers in the kingdom of God. Y'all with me? That's what they're after here. When are you going to enact the next set of events that will usher in your kingdom? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, because for God it's just a little season. Your season, my season, our season, if I could edify you as your pastor, they're just little seasons. In the big scheme of eternity, they're just little seasons. Until their fellow servants, middle of verse 11, also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Listen to what he just told them. Guys, none of these things are outside of my control. All these events that are spiraling, as it seems, out of control, they're not. It's all planned by the Lord. That's why he delays his coming. That's why he's not yet come. Well, if the Lord's really, you know, why didn't he come? Because he is slow to anger and he's abundant in mercy. He desires that none perish, but all come to everlasting life. He's slow in that response. And it's so that there could be more and more salvation, but there is this control here. There's this sovereignty on display. There's a broader program for us to do this morning. You can personalize this at this point if you need edification. There's a broader program than what we can just see with our human eyes. Even these souls that are under the altar need that reminder. Jesus says, there's a broader program. Things that I have to accomplish are not yet fulfilled. So now, the sixth seal, and then we'll close. Verse 12 down to verse 17. Listen, The sixth seal, write this down if you're a note taker, is the great equalizer. Remember I told you the wine, the oil, don't touch those things. The rich, still, they're intact at that point. Not anymore. No, and it happened quickly. It didn't last very long. The scene now goes back up into heaven. We were on earth for quite some time. We were in heaven, came to earth. Now we're going up to heaven with John the Revelator. He says, and I beheld, verse 12, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Sackcloth is a garment of despair in Scripture. It's interesting here, the poetry that's on display. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. I don't think this is a literal star, because one star would incinerate the whole world if it fell and crashed down. We don't know what this is. The word speaks of any luminous body that might fall from the heavens. It speaks of this planetary devastation. It could be a meteor shower. It could be all sorts of things, but this is what John sees. He's trying to communicate to you. This is what he beholds, and everything that he sees and beholds are what the prophets said that they saw. Isaiah 34, Isaiah 13, Joel chapter 2, everything's coming together. What they foretold, John is saying, is being fulfilled. What they foretold, John is saying, is being fulfilled. That's how God's word always goes. The earth rocking to and fro like a drunken man. Earthquakes are the number one cause of natural disasters that kill humanity. Earthquakes, the sun going black, I think of Goshen and I think of Golgotha. Back in Exodus, when the plagues were happening, everywhere in Egypt went black. The lights went out. Besides Goshen, where the children of Israel were, for 3 days. Golgotha, when the wrath of God was poured out on his son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, what happened? There was this darkness for the space of several hours. It's going to happen again. You don't want to be here for this. You're not going to be here for this if you're in Christ. But you better start getting inspired to share the gospel of Jesus with your loved ones. This should put a bounce in all of our steps to get serious about sharing the love of Jesus Christ with the world that's around us. Because this is the future. We just keep hearing about, we want to get back to normal. I celebrated with the majority of you this past week when our governor lifted the restrictions for travel. It's wonderful to hop on a plane and go somewhere and do whatever and not have to deal with quarantine and such and testing when you get back. And we're all dying. Get back to normal, mask off. We'll do whatever it takes, vaccines, whatever, man. Like, just get us back to normal. This is the majority of population, I'm saying. But the Bible says that this is going to be how human history comes to a close. I don't know when. Maybe the Lord is going to put it off and there's going to be another outpouring of his spirit. I pray for that. If he does delay his coming, I pray for revival. I want my kids to have a better America than the way that it is right now. And I believe it will only happen by an outpouring of God's spirit. I pray that our nation repents. I pray that pastors stop screwing around in the pulpit and preach the scriptures. I mean, I pray for those things. I'm not a Debbie Downer, but I'm also telling you that this is how human history closes. This is how we exit the 69th week and the 70th week begins. So he goes on to say here that the stars of heaven, 13, they fall on the earth as a fig cast or untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven, there's three heavens. This is the atmosphere heaven. This isn't like where the throne of God is. I don't want you to be discouraged. It departed as a scroll. Isaiah said it would. When it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That happens when there's earthquakes. And the kings of the earth, very important. The kings of the earth, you know who that is? Presidents, prime ministers. And the kings of the earth and the great men of the earth, the great men of the earth, chief captains, military leaders, and the mighty men, it says, the rich men. I mean, you think about now all of a sudden your money can't save you. Now all of a sudden, your power can't save you. Mighty men here, speaking of men of strength, influence, you know, guys like those who own Twitter, Facebook, those guys, they got a lot of power and authority right now, don't they? They determine who shares what and speaks what. And these, it says, bondmen, free men, they all hide themselves. Every social strata now, there is nothing that keeps you from this. It's been removed when the sixth seal opens. And it says that they all hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains. And sadly, they say in 16 to the mountain instead of to God. They start to pray to the mountain instead of to God. They say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know where it's coming from at this point. And you know what's crazy? They're going to start blaspheming eventually. If this is sequential, these things settle down a little bit before they pick back up again. And instead of repenting and crying out to the Lord, they blaspheme and they shake their fist at heaven. The audacity of man. They cry to the mountain instead of like the martyrs in 9 and 10, cry out to God. They say, fall on us. And then in verse 17, it says, for the great day of his wrath is come. And then there's this question that should cause a selah in the room. Who shall be able to stand? Pause. And then what it'll do in chapter 7 is it'll answer that question. But listen, what I can tell you is this. You want to be standing in chapter 5, verse 9. When it says this of those who are redeemed, it says, and they, the saints, sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us unto our God king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth. When you want to stand is there, not in this spot where they're saying, who shall be able to stand? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, apart from Jesus Christ, nobody shall be able to stand. And that's what we have to understand this morning. This great day, speaking of the whole day, but at the beginning of the day. Beginning, the way that I see it. This day of God's wrath, it's not a 24-hour time period, but a period unspecified. But from Daniel chapter 9, we get an idea here of the length of the whole thing. The day of wrath is how I want to close you this morning. The day of wrath is in contrast to our present day, which is a day of grace. You think about the Lord, if you walk with him, it will touch your emotion. He could take an awful lot before he gets to this place of enough's enough. Can't he? I mean, you think through, and we'll do this in a few weeks, Good Friday and on Easter especially, you think through what he endured, like the nails and the crown of thorns and the mocking and the scourging and the betrayal. You think about that. That's enough in and of itself. The Father turning his face from him, the weight of man's sins placed upon him. You think about that, and it's been over 2,000 years, and he hasn't lashed out his judgment yet. But think about, in addition to that, half of his people's hearts he's had instead of their whole hearts. Half of his people's worship instead of full worship. And you start to think through some of these things that he has endured as our bridegroom. He has been very, very patient before it comes from him this way. I don't even need you to agree with me in order for me to be dogmatic on this. I'm telling you that. His compassion and his mercy and his grace, you're backslidden and you coming back and you're falling into sin, you're walking into sin and him delivering you. I mean, I know as one individual in the room, I can testify. He's been so gracious. He's been slow to anger and abundant in mercy, long-suffering and gentleness in my own life. And it's led me to repentance time and time again. When these things begin to happen and happen the way they do in this chapter, especially when the sixth seal opens, no one can say, what a nasty, mean God. I mean, and I think this morning that it should bring us to a place, because I mean, every week I got to get before the Lord and say, Lord, how do I close this service out? I mean, Seriously. And I just feel the Holy Spirit ministers to me, this minister to you, that there's got to be this conviction in the room this morning where we all agree that there's got to be no more gray. No more gray when it comes to our love for Jesus, our response to Jesus, our pursuit of Jesus. Because there's a time that is coming where there literally will be no more gray. Where multitudes will be saved and then multitudes will be blaspheming. There will be no in between. When these things are happening and the earth is tottering like a drunken man and the sun is going black and there's meteor showers and there's war and there's famine and there's missing children, there will be no more of, well, I don't know, let me see how it goes next Sunday. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, now is the high time to awake. Now is the time to make sure that we're standing with Jesus so we don't have to be with that number saying, who shall be able to stand? We're already standing around his throne. That we're not beholding the face of the Lamb that they're beholding. Isn't it interesting here that they say that? They say that it comes from him who's sitting on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. There's this understanding we will never have to experience that wrath when we choose to stand with Jesus now in this life. All of it's been paid for us. Another reason, the main reason, why we won't be here to experience these things. Who shall be able to stand? Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I mean, what a sobering, God, difficult place to end as a preacher. There's no watering it down. I don't even want to try to. It's just blatant before us, but it's still wrapped in so much grace. Thank you that you even allow us, Lord, this ability to know and understand what's ahead of us. So that, Lord, we can make this educated decision. If we reject you, we knew what we were rejecting. I know that none of us will be able to get up in that day and shake our fist. We didn't know. I mean, you allowed us to hear this morning. So I pray that your word would cause a right response in every man and woman's hearts this morning. That all of us would choose you. It's as though, Lord, we're standing back in the scene with Joshua and the Israelites. And there are two mountains in front of us, the mountain of life and the mountain of death. And we get this choice, we're in the valley of what are we gonna choose? I pray this morning that your people in this service would choose life. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. All God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.